There we go. Good morning, church. Come on in. Time for church. I'm excited. I'm so excited that you guys actually got out of bed this morning and came to church to be with us, right? But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know what? We're going to stand up right now. We're going to praise and worship together. Feel free to clap your hands. Feel free to raise your hands. Bow down and worship. Let's spend time in the presence of our Savior as we invite Him in with our praise and our worship. Amen.
Lightning, I hear thunder. Do you see what I see? Great is love.
Raise your hands and worship him. Speak praises out from your heart. Invite him to come and just meet you right where you're at right now. Lord, we praise you and we worship you today. High above. Lord, we're here for you. Once again, putting our lives before you. Ask him to come and just have your way. Holy Spirit, I pray that your presence is among us today. Doing all the things that only you can do. For Lord, we're a people that long for your presence. We want to know you more. Lord, that we would never feel far off from you, like you're a stranger. We would come to know you intimately and personally in a way that we know that you desire. Lord, the things that get in the way, that they're removed from our lives, Lord. For yes, you are wonderful and you are good. And there is no other besides you. Nothing else can fulfill the longing that we have in our lives that we so desperately search for. Nothing else. It's only you. I pray as we take steps towards you today, we don't have to go far because you've come all the way to us. I thank you for that. So we worship you and we praise you. With every part of who we are, of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, everything, Lord, we give it. Oh, Jesus. Today is the day to know that God desires each one of us. To know that He's a purposeful creator. And that He created you with you in His mind. Because He desires to be with you. To walk with you, to show you the way. Eternal life is not just some imaginary story, but it's a frame of reference of God's desire to be with you through all things in an endless state. That's how much God loves us, how much He loves you. That we would open our hearts today to that kind of love. We open our hearts today to that kind of desire. And let the God of all, the Creator God, draw near. Fellowship with you, to be invited to the table with Him, where your cup overflows. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. So if you would raise your hands and say, we thank you, Jesus. Let them know. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your great love, for your goodness. We thank you. Lord, as we continue in our worship today, an expression of the longing of you, we raise our hands up as if to be picked up by you. We bow down in your presence in reverence and awe. Thank you, Lord, for you are good and you are wonderful. We didn't have to earn it, but you came to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
is my shepherd, and he is everything I need. So I will not worry, and I will not fear the enemy. He said that he loves me. He said that he's with me, even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. Father, I know my Father. The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? And why would I question staff that comforts me? He quiets the waters, he quiets the storm inside of me. So what could be better than walking with him when I believe? He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens, and he has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. Mercy will follow after me, so fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me, so fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. And surely mercy will follow after me, so fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. He has good plans, and he has good plans for me. So I will take God in deserts and gardens. He has good.
Amen. It's good to have you today, live streamers, wherever you're watching at, on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you're finding us. It's good to have you. Come on in. We'll take up tithe and offering. So if you have something to give, offering envelopes are available in the chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around and one of the ushers will help you out. But it's good to have you this morning. Glad everybody stayed safe the other night with the storms that passed through. And certainly we're praying for those that lost homes, and certainly there was loss of lives and things. So we're praying about those things. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. But for your giving today, we thank you for your giving, your faithfulness. So let me pray over it. If you have something this morning, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, Lord. I thank you that you're providing for us in all things. I thank you, Lord, that you go before us, and you're always making a way. And I pray as we give this morning that, again, it's always an offering unto you. It's worship unto you. It's praise to you. Acknowledging everything and who you are in our lives. Lord, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. If you have something, you can bring it down, and we'll kick off with announcements here.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're excited to have you here with us today. I'm just doing a couple announcements real quick. Next steps, we have coming up the first Wednesday in April. And if that date doesn't work for you, still please sign up, and we will get with you and find out when we can do it. What Next Steps is just learning about our church and where we came from, and we want to get you guys plugged in. So if you've been coming here for a while and you feel like this is your home church, or you want it to be your home church, which we really hope that you do, we want to share with you and get you guys to be a part. There is a place for you here, amen. No dream team is full. We have room for you. We want you to be a part of what's going on. So signups are in the back there. And then ladies, we have morning coffee this Saturday at 9 a.m. We just get together, very chill. We're going to have coffee, and someone will probably bring a snack, and it's always tasty. So we hope that you guys will come for that too.
All right, thanks, Samara. On top of that, Joy Fellowship. Where's Bill and Patsy at? Joy Fellowship is next Sunday at 5 o'clock. It's one of our small groups that happens in the church, and they love when you bring food, hot food, but if you don't, you're allowed to come anyhow. They get together in fellowship, spend a little time in the Word. So if you have questions about Joy Fellowship, you can ask them. Don't forget, tomorrow is church-wide prayer at 6 o'clock. So we're a praying church. Pray first, right? Your first step is always do what? Pray first, right? So tomorrow at 6 o'clock, join us for church-wide prayer. It goes from 6 to 7. If you've never been to church-wide prayer, we encourage you to come on out for that. Also, coming up, just 2 weeks away is Easter. I can't believe it, but we're already at Easter. So what we do Easter weekend is this. Good Friday,
We are open from 5 to 8 o'clock for what we call a time of reflection. And there'll be stations throughout the church. This year, the reflection stations are based on the things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. There's 7 different stations that you can go through. That's from 5 to 8 on Good Friday. It's not a service. You can come at any time from 5 to 8. It'll probably take you half an hour or so to go through the station. You can do it at your pace, at your speed. But that's Good Friday. Then certainly then Resurrection Sunday, we have our celebration service at 10 a.m. right here. Also that morning, they'll provide a little bit of a light breakfast for you before church. If you want to come a little bit early and enjoy that, and come on out for that. But it's always good not only to be here on Easter, but invite somebody with you. Amen? Now here's the thing. I was reading something. I said this last week, I think. I was reading something not long ago. When it comes to Christmas Eve and Easter, these are kind of two biggest services of the year for non-church people to come to church. And the statistics said this, that 80% of people who are invited to church come to church when they're invited on Christmas Eve or Easter. So how about this? If you know somebody who did not go to church, invite them with you on Easter Sunday, and we'll believe they'll come. The gospel we preach to them, we'll believe lives will be saved and touched and all that business. So invite some people out for that. Also, the kitchen team. We've been signing up for this. It's a team that deals with the before church coffee, which I know blesses you. For instance, Easter Sunday, the meal that's being made for you, the breakfast. If you're interested in the kitchen team, there's a sign-up sheet at the back table. Sign up for that. They'll tell you more about it. But that team, the sign-up, they're going to meet next Sunday right after church just for a few minutes to give you more information about what that's about so we can get that thing rolling. So if you signed up for that next Sunday right after church, stay for that, and we'll get that thing kicked off. And last but not least, obviously, is the things that happened this past week in the Lakeview, Indian Lake area. We put out on our Facebook, if you had something you wanted to donate, to bring it to the church, and we'd see that it got there. But what's been happening is there's been constant updates on what's going on there. And the initial rush, they just got overwhelmed with stuff. If you saw a picture of the Indian Lake Gymnasium, it was just full of stuff, which is amazing. So they're kind of packed right now, but at the same time, all that stuff's going to run out eventually. And this is not just going to be a one-week project. It's going to take some time. So a couple of different things. First off, if you want to be aware of kind of the updates that are going on, there is a Facebook page that is really good at putting the updates on. See Lisa Newman. She'll tell you about that Facebook page where you can find it, okay? So for instance, they were putting out, like, we're overwhelmed with water, but we need disinfectant wipes. Like, they're good about putting that information on. Secondly, if you want to donate things, you can bring them here to the church over any stretch of time here. We'll store it here. The Newmans have offered to store it at their place also. We can store it there. They're not too far from Indian Lake. And we'll make sure as the needs come up for the stuff that comes in, we'll get it there. Okay? And then last but not least, and certainly right away the information was very in and out on what was going on. And first, initially, they weren't wanting people just to come there to try to help. It was obviously a mess, and trying to figure out what was going on. Still, a lot of search and rescue was happening. I think they're starting to get to the place where they are accepting volunteer help. There is a possibility that maybe we'll throw something out, that maybe we'll put a team together on a Saturday and go up and help do some cleanup. So if you're interested in that, just watch for that information, and we'll throw it out and try to get up there and help out a little bit. Sound good? So, again, I know Nate and Lisa are over there. They've been involved with some things. They've opened up their property for livestock and whatever, for a place to stay. So you have questions, see them. My knowledge is a little bit limited, but we'll see what we can do. But if you have things you want to donate, water, we'll hold it until they need it or things like that, okay? So we want to be a neighbor to what's going on up there. I know the churches in that area are doing a wonderful job. The community really stepped up. But, again, a lot of times what happens is there's always an initial rush of help, and then like a month later, the need is still big and the help kind of filters out. So what we want to do is just keep watch over time and be involved where we can. Amen? Amen. All right. Get your Bibles out. Thank you, Canyon. I'm excited to get into the Word with you today. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up. We're going to get there in just a minute to Genesis chapter 1. That's an easy one to find. the very first one, Genesis 1. But before you, we don't have to go there on the screen, or you don't have to go there in your Bibles, but let me read to you 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Then verse 23, Paul writes, but we preach Christ crucified. And in the basis of our preaching and what we ultimately believe is based on the cross of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The basis of what we preach and what we believe is the cross of Jesus. I'm going to come over on this side. Try this again. The basis of what we believe, therefore what we preach, is the cross of Jesus. Amen. Because without the cross and certainly the following resurrection, what we believe would be in vain. So we preach Christ crucified. So what we wanted to do leading up to Easter is talk about some different things that happened when Jesus was on the cross. So think with me for a second. I'm going to take a little walk here. Excuse me. Sin, whether it is intentional or unintentional, it has consequences. It is walking in a way that God does not desire. What happens is that equals separation from God, breaking fellowship with God, and certainly because God is the source of life, you're separated from the source of life. And what that means is then it brings death on a lot of different levels, inward death, physical death, and certainly eternal separation from God. So the work of the cross is what reversed that whole thing. There's a fancy church word for it, and that church word is atonement. What atonement means is this. It is the restoration of humans to original intention, which is being at one with God again. And atonement is kind of the way that that happens. Fancy church word. But if you break it down, atonement means at one meant. So what Jesus does on the cross to reverse the effects of sin brings us back at one with God again. Because remember, the basis of salvation is reconciled relationship with God. So covering some different things that happened when Jesus was on the cross, last week we talked about the fact that Jesus was our substitution. He went to the cross in our place and paid the penalty of sin for us. Today I want to talk to you about something, kind of the fancy word for it is recapitulation. All right, so don't write that down. I'm not going to say it again. And what it means is that God takes the human story, because of what happened with Adam, and brings it all back into himself and gives a new ending. That's really what it talks about. So, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to walk you through a couple different things here. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. I want to talk to you for a moment about the image of God that we are made in. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. All the creeping stuff, too. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And so God made all that he made, what we would consider creation. He made the animals, right? But then he makes something after his own image. Now, that means that man is separated from the rest of creation in this way. The trees are good, right? How many like the trees? How many like the stars at night when you look up and see the beautiful stars? How many like a nice summer day when you go outside and the sun is shining and the grass looks great? And those are not the image of God. They express the power of God. That's not the image of God. He also made the animals. How many like dogs? He made the dogs. How many are cat lovers? Not me, but cats. He made the cats. Horses, cows, lions, wonderful creation, beautiful animals, but those are not the image of God. But he makes man, male and female, and he said, let us, you can. What is the us there? What could be the heavenly host? It could be the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, maybe with Jesus, the incarnation later being the stamp of it. But let us make man, male and female, in our image. And he does so. Do you realize that you bear the image of God? That's something sacred, by the way. You bear the image of God. So when God made Adam and Eve, they were made in his image. Now, there's something that kind of plays off of that. This is kind of where we want to go with this a little bit. What does that mean? If we're made in his image, there's a reason and a purpose that comes out of it. And what comes out of it is what we would call vocation. Vocation is something that you do, right? We are made, human beings are made, to be the image bearers of God on this earth in the midst of the rest of creation. Creation itself is not the image of God. The animals aren't the image of God. But we are in the image of God to be the ones that reflect who God is in this world. And notice two things that happen at creation of man. First of all, be fruitful, multiply. Look around the room. That's why we're here. Right? So we know there's going to be other people. But also subdue. You have dominion over the earth. So vocation shows up in a couple different ways. Vocation shows up that we are to reflect who God is in our relationships and how we treat other people. It also is to show up in how we care for what God has made. Right? Vocation. The image of God that we're made with is to be reflected in simply how that we live. That in all that we do, we reflect that the God who made us, we are made in certain aspects like him, so we're to govern the earth and be in relationship with one another in reflection of, well, who he is. So you can maybe put it this way. I think we got, Nehemiah back there, is that right? If you could throw that first screen up for me, please. As image bearers, humanity is to reflect God in how we govern creation and live with one another. That's big. That's our vocation. That's what we are to do ultimately. Yeah, but by the way, the imagery of the royal priesthood is sort of wrapped up in what this is. It means right worship. Because what happens is when we lose right worship, we fall into certain aspects of idolatry. That's not being image bearers. We're to be in right relationship with one another. When we fall short of that, that is not being an image bearer of what God made us to be. The ethics of how we're supposed to live. When we lose the idea of what it means to be an image bearer, we lose the idea of what true freedom is all about. So image bearing is something we've been given. We have it. It's something that you do as a vocation, and it's something you experience ultimately in relationship. But see, what happens is, we know Genesis chapter 3, man falls in sin. And the image of God that we're made with is marred in a certain way because then how we reflect him, our vocation gets all messed up. We fall into idolatry. Our exes go wrong. How we treat one another is not good. We're trapped by sin. And what we're supposed to be doing as image bearers is ultimately lost. And it leads to this, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned. We're picking up mid-sentence here, cutting out the good part of it just to make this point. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. It has fallen short of the glory of God. That is a result of Adam's and Eve's fallen sin. And when we fall in sin, now listen, and we fall short of the glory of God, partially that means is the image bearing that we're supposed to carry gets messed up. Now remember, God is not the author of evil and sin. Amen. But because of sin, and this image bearing is marred in certain ways, vocation not being carried out properly, we are not reflecting God properly. We're not in right relationship with him, and everything gets messed up. And man's fall into sin, by the way, affects all of the created order. That is why ultimately there's a new heaven and new earth. Creation itself is not the image of God. The animals aren't the image of God, but our sin messed the whole thing up. That's why the earth is decaying. That's why death is not. So we had to put our dog down not long ago. Sad affair for our family, right? Don't like to lose a dog. Now, man fell in sin, so man ushered death into the world. That dog that died ultimately is a result of sin. Did the dog sin? I don't know. It wasn't a great dog. No, he was. No, the dog is not sinful, but a sin affects the whole thing. That's why the world is decaying and falling apart. So man's sin not just affected man himself, but affected all of creation. But here's the thing you have to understand. This is kind of put the point to it, that Adam and Eve are the head representative for all of humanity that followed them. And in the Bible, you see these representatives like this. Adam and Eve are the head representative of all humanity that follows them. And when they fell in sin, it ultimately reflected in what followed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a one outside of Jesus himself that is not a sinner. Everybody needs saved. If you ever hear anybody ever say, well, I don't know, I don't ever have anything to be forgiven for, I would say you're not self-aware. Now what happens is when you remove God and the belief of God, or at least you say he's there, but it really doesn't translate to your life, anything is permissible. Because there is no ethical guidelines of what sin is, right? But that doesn't remove the fact that it's there. All have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and it flows down from the head, Adam and Eve, who fell in sin. So Romans chapter 5, let's go there. So what the head, Adam and Eve, what they did has repercussions for everybody. But Romans chapter 5, and verse number 12. And we're going to read verse 12, then jump down below it. But while you turn there, let me just say this. Yes, all of humanity now is bound up in sin. So there's a big picture of this, but you realize that then you will be judged individually for your sin. Right? I will not be judged for the sin of my wife or my son or Christine, who knows what she's been involved in, or LJ, or Tish. I won't be judged for that. Thank God. I have enough of my own problems. You see what I mean? Humanity is bound up in sin because the head fell in sin, but we will be judged individually for our sin. And that's why Paul is emphasizing in Romans 5, for all, everyone, each person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not reflecting God as image bearers properly. And there's judgment for these things. But here's the good news. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin, for sin was indeed in the world before the law was given. Okay, so Paul is dealing with the law in the book of Romans. But notice it says, death and sin came through one man, Adam. Jump down to verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following the many trespasses brought justification. For if because one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all men. For if by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. By one man, sin comes. And what comes from sin is condemnation. But here comes the new Adam, Jesus. And by the free gift of what Jesus does for us on the cross, it takes condemnation and allows justification. For the one man, what he does affects us all, so the one man then also affects us all. We're bound up with him in what he did on the cross. Now, this is not a kind of justifying universalism. I'm not saying, in other words, that Jesus died, that means everybody's going to be saved. But what it allows is what Jesus did is he can reverse what the one man did for those who believe in him. From condemned to justified, from lost to found, from broken in sin to healed, to blinded in darkness to walking in the light. For where was death comes new life. That's what Jesus does on the cross. He takes the story of humanity, which found itself lost in sin because of the trespass of one man, and brings us all with him to the cross, and he bears our sin in his body on the cross as our representative. So we can say it this way. Nehemiah, you'll put that second screen up, please. On the cross, Jesus recovers what was lost in Adam. Simple. What was lost in Adam, Jesus recovers on the cross, and his whole business of image bearing is recovered. Because now we have the opportunity to reflect God properly in this world. To be free of idolatry and right worship. To learn what it means then ethically in how we live, to treat one another properly. To govern the world as God has placed us in governorship with. That's what Jesus does on the cross for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, those words, justification, righteousness, they ultimately comes down to stating that we are back in right standing and right relationship with God. Again, that's the point. Jesus, who was sinless, went to the cross, and the one who was sinless became sin, took the curse that started with Adam. He takes the story and rewrites it so that we can be the righteousness of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You see that? So when Jesus goes to the cross, different ways the scriptures put it, he bore our sins in his body. He took our sins. For the curse that came from the law, he became the curse for us. He took it all. All of humanity's sin that comes because for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He takes the whole entire thing. Past, in his present day, and also what comes in the future to our day. He takes it all and takes it to the cross. And he says, the story of Adam that fell in sin and the image bearing of God is marred is now taken in him. And he gives humanity a new story. He gives humanity a new way. And again, allows this image bearing process to be reconstituted once again. I love this guy. You don't know him. He's an old long ago dude called Maximus the Confessor. Can you imagine if your mom named you Maximus? Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe not. Anyways, but he must have confessed a lot. Maximus the Confessor, all right? He said Christianity is an entirely new way to be human. Amen. It takes what was lost in Adam and says, now we're going to show you what true life is. Really is. Now we're going to show you the Jesus way. He gives us brand new life. See, again, true freedom restored. Jesus and what he taught shows us the way to treat one another in ethical responsibility. This vocation of image bearing comes back in its proper way. We worship God properly. Right relationship with him. If you think about some things here, how the things that we see with Adam and Eve kind of get replayed in Jesus. Adam and Eve disobeyed in a garden. In contrast, Jesus obeyed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He reversed it. Obviously, in their sin, they bring sin to humanity. In contrast, Jesus takes our sin in himself. Adam and Eve ate from a tree and then hid behind a tree from God. In contrast, Jesus then hung on a tree exposed. As part of the curse for their disobedience, the thorns grew and the ground became hard to work with. Then Jesus himself wears a crown of thorns. In disobedience, Adam and Eve were removed from outside of the garden of paradise. But then Jesus is also crucified outside the city, but then he promises paradise. In sin, paradise and the relationship with God is lost. But this eternity of paradise and relationship with God is now regained. Jesus takes that entire story and he rewrites it. and takes what Adam did and now brings this life. That's what Jesus does on the cross. Everything is absolutely changed. And the trajectory of humanity, human life, how we live, what life is about, is redirected. Thank God for his work. If Jesus did not do what he did, we would still be lost in our sin. If Jesus did not do what he did, we would still be paying the penalties of our sin now, but later also. If Jesus did not do what he did, well, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for any of us. If Jesus didn't do what he did, life really couldn't be attainable in the sense of what God intends. If Jesus didn't do what he did, I don't even know what to say. We'll be lost and broken and blinded in the dark with no way out. But thank God that there was a but God, and that regardless of what Adam and Eve did and every single person after them, that God so loved the world. And he sees us right in our sin, and the amazing thing about him, he still loves us. And he doesn't cast us off. But in that Garden of Gethsemane, that moment of obedience, yet not my will, to go by this cup, but to drink this cup, but your will be done, God saved the world. And as we're going to talk about next week, the cross is the victory of God in a total opposite way than how you would think it would happen. That's what Jesus does for us. Thank God. When I'm really honest with myself and I'm self-reflective and I think about myself, oh my goodness. Before I was saved, my goodness. Since I'm saved and I ain't perfect yet, still my goodness. You know what I'm talking about? But God loves me. He's died for me. He's forgiven me. He's teaching me. He's showing me the way. I'm growing in him. All because of this wonderful, great love that he has for us, that he would come and pay the price for us on a Roman crucifixion. Death penalty for us. That's what it means. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Now, I said this last week. Let me say this again. Don't take the cross of Christ for granted. Don't take it for granted. Don't take his love for granted. Don't take his grace, his mercy, his patience. Don't take these things for granted. See, the more I grow, the more that I really want to do everything I can do to please him. Not because he's a hard taskmaster. He's not. But because I don't ever take that for granted. Now I allow him to direct my life and change my life and ask anything of me. Because again, it ultimately leads to abundant life. See, I think sometimes, of course, we preach throughout the year on a lot of different stuff. And see, the cross of Christ, again, is the basis for what we preach. We preach Christ crucified. Do we ever lose sight that this never stops being at the forefront, lest we take it for granted and Christian faith becomes about all a bunch of other stuff. Christ crucified. And what that affords for my life. Amen. Now about this. You just for a second, you for a moment. I want you to make sure that you haven't taken it for granted. I want you to make sure that your life is a reflection in this world as God intends because of what he did on the cross. I want you to make sure that you don't allow sin placed in your life taking for granted the work of the cross. I want you to make sure. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never really said, Lord, I give you my life. Please forgive me of my sins. I realize that I am a sinner. I've been lost. I want to pray with you in just a second. Because the greatest taking for granted the cross is denying its saving power. That's the greatest. Denying the work of the cross in your life for whatever reason you're denying it. Now, how about we stand up on our feet? So you, right where you're at, I just want you to spend a moment with him. Lord, we thank you. I want you to thank him for the work of the cross. I want you to ask him if there's any way in your life that maybe you're taking it for granted that he would show it to you. Maybe it's pretty obvious. I don't know. But every person that would leave here today, that we're right footing with this. No more playing around. No more lackadaisical Christianity. No more trying to keep things out of his way of living. But giving everything to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for what you have done. Lord, search us and know us and find any offensive way in us. Then lead us in the way everlasting. Yes, Lord. You've made the way everlasting. Oh, Jesus. Lord, hear our hearts right now. Hear our words. The Holy Spirit, come speak to us. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Now, with your eyes closed, if there's anybody here, you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never allowed the forgiveness of sins in your life. You want to give your heart and your life to him today. I ask right now, just raise your hand up. Let me see. Anybody in the house? Anybody else? I saw that when you put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Some other people the Lord put on my heart to pray with today during worship. Now, I'm going to grab some of you before you go, but Samara, why don't you lead us in a song? I'm going to pray with this young man right here.
Oh, good.
I got some names in my heart, and I'm going to ask you to come down. Once I call these people down to pray, Samara's going to keep playing. You can be dismissed to go. It might take me a little bit. All right, but if you want to come down and stay behind people, I pray that's cool too, and pray with me. Just some things dropped in my heart. Justin, Ashley, come on down. Tish, Christine, Linda, where's Sandy at? Sandy, come down here. Eric and Tori, you guys. Judy, can't run out of here, Judy. Come down here. Come on down. Now, having said that, if there's anybody else who would like prayer this morning, come down. We'll spend some time praying with you. But Samara's going to do another song here, but after that, you